10-8 DBS Mobile. At 8 DBS, testing
1-2-3. KE8, RUH Mobile.
At 8 DBS.
Morning, Dakota. How you doing?
I am good. Ready for the weekend. How are you?
Ready for the weekend. You're sounding pretty good on that mobile there. Are you liking it?
I've only messed with it a little bit, but honestly, it's probably the best mobile I've played with. It's like the FTM-200 and the FTM-300 had a really good baby.
That's awesome. I know you just put it in, but are you finding that you can get into the repeaters from much further away than you were with that HT? I don't know where you're at now, but you sound great.
Just a couple quick radio checks from my driveway. Yeah, the getting into some very far away ones was pretty easy. I'm sure I was noisy, but it opened right up, and I was able to hear fine, so I'm assuming I got in fine. I opened it up last night, took care of what needed to be taken care of on it, and put it in the truck. I'm actually almost to my office where I ordered the correct fuse caps, because right now it's wrapped around a fuse. A little jank, but these new trucks, they have a three-prong fuse. I've never even seen that.
That's interesting. Yeah, I've never seen one like that either. That's great. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you'll find it much easier to talk to people on that than you were getting out on that HT. Although, cool HT, but I think you made a good decision.
The convenience alone of just having this thing mounted to where I get in and I press the button and I pull the mic out, it's so nice. And I have my entire center console back. I don't have a power cable and a speaker mic, and I got to disconnect the BNC. It was a mess, so I feel like I got my truck back, minus the giant radio that's above my mirror.
Yeah, what kind of mount did you use to put it above the mirror? I like that. I think I could fit my 2730 right above my mirror in my car, and I don't know why I never really thought of doing it that way, but I didn't. And I think it would clear up a bunch of center console space, like you said.
I swear by those Lido windshield mounts. They make them for ICOMs, and they make them for Yaesus and a couple others. That THC-75 was in one of their cup holder mounts, which I've had that thing forever. Quality stuff, it's super cheap, like that mount was $25, and it doesn't move, it's rock solid. So I wish it was a little shorter, so I could have brought this closer to the mirror, because it is sticking out more than I'd wanted. But being a big head with a speaker in it, it's really not that bad that it's closer to my face.
Yeah, I'll have to check those out, because I wouldn't mind relocating my radio. That'd be nice.
I'm all about a clean install, and that was the other reason I wanted to put a proper one in the truck. I can't make up my mind ever. I didn't want anything permanent, but I also can't stand when stuff's, like, thrown everywhere. So with that 75 in here, I had cables laying all over the place. It drove me nuts. The only thing I got to figure out is the radio's under the passenger seat. So I had to extend the mic, because I don't plug the mic into the head, because then I'd have it dangling. So the only thing I got to figure out is how to hide or route the mic extension, because right now it's just going up the side of my console and into it and then out the front, which isn't a big deal, but I like it when it looks like it was meant to be there.
Yeah, for sure. I know right now where my head unit is, I have the microphone plugged into it. I guess I never even thought about routing the microphone from the actual radio unit. I'm going to have to do a little investigation and see what my options are and see if I want to relocate mine, because it might be nice to have some space back.
It's so cheap to move these things around, too. I bought a 20-foot Ethernet cable for like $8. That's what I used to run in the all the trim through the A-pillar, through the headliner, to the radio. So that's all hidden. And then the extension for the mic was like another $6. So it's pretty affordable to put these things where you want them. You just have to get a little creative with how you're running the cables.
Is that all it is? Is a like a Cat 5 or Cat 6 cable for to go from the radio to the head unit?
Yep, the mic uses an RJ12, which is like an old phone line, a 6-wire, and then the head unit is just a 8-pin Ethernet cable.
That's good to know. I never looked into it, never investigated, so I didn't know what they were, but I see Ethernet cables all the time. I could put anything anywhere, I guess.
Let me know if you want to try to rerun some stuff.
Yeah, I will. Maybe, maybe in a couple weeks, if I decide to do it, I'll let you know. We could meet up on a Saturday or something like that. Because I think it would it'd be nice. I spent enough time in the car that it would be nice to have it rerouted up and out of my way.
It took me longer to figure out how to rig the power because I didn't have the right fuse tab than it did to run the cable in here. So I've got the trim tools in here. Part.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, having the right tools for the job is always a good thing. I hate taking trim off and things like that, or just pushing stuff underneath it because I don't have the right tools.
I got some cheap kit on it, and I ended up breaking a bunch of tools on an old truck, and I finally said,
that's cool. Hey, did you get out hunting last weekend or the weekend before? I can't remember the last time I talked to you.
I hunted duck opener, and we shot 6 geese and 5 ducks. So that was the 12th. And then last weekend, my back went out. So I didn't hunt at all. And then this week I've been going to the chiropractor. I went to the chiropractor Monday and Tuesday, and I got to go back Thursday. And I'm hopefully hunting this weekend. So no, I've not been hunting nearly as much as I wanted to.
Well, that sucks. Hopefully they get you squared away, because I know this is leading into prime time. So you got to get out there when you can.
Well, I ended up selling my bow. I didn't even shot it since last year, so I sold it to a buddy because I have no time to deer hunt, archery hunt, and put the effort in. So, but November 15th, I took off. I'm that guy now, so I'm just gonna go out there and shoot whatever I see. Shoot a big doe or a nice. I doubt it, but it's a nice buck. Plus, from last year, we shot this year.
In between repeaters or something, you got a lot of noise, but I heard you saying you're taking November 15th off. I took that day off too. Hopefully I get something. I'm kind of in the same boat you are. Get out there, see something, shoot something, clean it up, and then be good for the year.
Switched over to UMP here. I'm in a car wash at Hall and Heidenreich, so that's probably why I sound like garbage. I don't know, man. I've shot so many deer, and we have so much meat that everywhere I hunt, there's too many other people hunting it, so I have no interest in, you know, waiting for that buck. So, yeah, like last year, if a nice one walks in front of me, I'll shoot it, but I'm not going out of my way to try to shoot a trophy because I don't put them on the wall anyway.
Right. If you get the right one, you put it on the wall, but that's not the goal. I totally get that.
Exactly. I Euro-mounted mine that I shot last year, and it's sitting not on a plaque, on a shelf in the basement.
For sure. I mean, I guess at what point do you have too many to hang also? Like, you've been hunting for a long time. What, are you going to hang every single one? It just doesn't work that way.
Believe it or not, that deer I shot last year was the second buck I've shot in my entire life. I shot an 8-point for my first deer when I was 12, and then I shot that guy last year. Other than that, I've only shot those, because unlike 99% of Michigan, I don't shoot dinks or care to shoot a spike and post it on Facebook when I can throw it over my shoulder.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. Oh, man, that's funny. I'm hoping... Last year we saw a bunch of does, and it was at a new spot, so we didn't, I didn't shoot one. This year, the does are still coming in, got trail cams up, and this year I'm just gonna shoot a doe. It's time. I need to fill my freezer.
NADBF. They're easier to hunt. There's plenty of them. They taste better. I don't see any negatives to shooting a doe, and there's too many of them.
Yeah, for sure. They're everywhere, and that's what everybody's saying. Actually, I heard there was some talking with the DNR that there was like a scale to get a buck tag. They were thinking about redoing it where you had to like shoot two does to get a buck tag or something like that. I don't know if it was real or it was just like speculation and how to control the population, but there is a lot of does out there, and you're right, everybody wants a buck. KRUH.
2 seconds, run into the dryer. So in several other states throughout the country that have good deer and where their DNR isn't worthless, they have what's called earn a buck. So you don't get a buck tag until you shoot a doe.
Kind of makes sense.
They also have way more lax block tags for farmers to where you can shoot bucks, which we don't really need to do in Michigan. I'm not worried about that. But the rules are a lot different. You can kill a lot more deer. You can let them lie. You can bury them. In Michigan, on a block tag for population control, if you shoot the deer, you need to harvest the deer. So it's kind of hard to figure that out in June and July when, you know, you're stacking bodies, and then you got to figure out what to do with these deer when it's 85 degrees.
Yeah, I got some buddies that get in on some of those block tags, and they have the same problem. They shoot, you know, 10 deer between six of them, and then, you know, that afternoon, they're back at somebody's pole barn processing them, and it turns into a whole thing, which, you know, when you got a group of guys, that's fine, but as one individual, my goodness, that will cause a real problem.
Yeah, so those are the kind of things that, I mean, we could really iron out, but our DNR sucks, so I'm not banking on it. There's a lot of things. Shooting light in Michigan is another one for waterfowl. We're standing there. I can positively identify birds flying in by silhouette, and I'm not allowed to shoot them for another 5 to 10 minutes because that's when the DNR says I can.
Well, it's government's job to make things more difficult for us, Dakota. You know that as well as I do.
Yep, I gotta give them money to get permission to feed my family. I love that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy. All right, hey, man, I'm gonna cut you loose. I am making a stop at Home Depot right now. I'm imagining that you are almost to your office anyway, so I will be clear on your final. This is KE8RUH. We'll talk to you soon. Have a great day.
Sounds good, man. Yeah, I just rolled into the office. I'll catch you later. NADBF.
WBAD monitoring. W8FUNAKBP.
Joe.
What up, sir?
Not much. Working from home. I saw your call come in, but I was on another call working, so couldn't get to it. And then I had forgotten until you just called.
Oh, very good. It's about your radio that I was trying to program for you. It can't be done. I'll just call you on the groundwire thing. Hold on.
All right, give me about 10 minutes. I'm in the middle of a work thing. I got to just get off my plate real quick while all the brains are cylinders are firing. Give me about 10. I'll call you as soon as I'm done with this. W8FU.
Yeah, that would make more sense. NAKZB.
NA1SS, NA1SS, are you listening? Kilo, Zulu, 8 Zulu.
You sounded a little funky there, Dave. What was up?
Whiskey 8, Delta Papa Echo, Kilo, Zulu, 8 Zulu, echo number 82, copy.
Dave, are you on the wrong mic or something?
Sean, you're still there? NAKBP.
From WACIJ.
KE8TFM mobile. BMI.
WBAD.
NABF Mobile. NABF Mobile.
KE8RUH Mobile. What's going on, Dakota?
Driving home, figured I'd flip over here and take a break from the other side.
Oh, were you on the other side just now? I thought I heard
the other side.
And, I was just monitoring your low.
Sounds like Cap 8S. Yeah, the other side where it's just a lot of noises.
A lot of nonsense chatter, would you say? And Rogers?
If a certain someone over there, Rogers, I don't mind it. I feel like it's his signature at this point. There's no getting him away from it. But yeah, it's the radio checks, the key-ups, and the people that sound like they're sitting in a basement trying to get to a repeater 20 miles away.
You know, I love it for what it is, and I'm super happy it's there, but I also find it frustrating.
100%. The network's awesome, the service is awesome, the cost of entry is awesome, the utilitarian purposes are awesome. I just don't consider it a hobby band. The etiquette is just, it's totally different, but what do you expect when there's really no cost of entry other than a $35 fee, right? You don't have to be that serious about it. You don't have to have, I guess in ham you don't have to have really good equipment either, but it is what it is, right? Like, you know what you're getting when you go over there, and I shouldn't complain about it, so I retract what I said.
Oh, I wasn't trying to make you feel bad here. I agree with you. I think you're right. You know what you're getting, and I have fun over there every now and again. I love that I'm driving up 75 and I can continue to talk to people on the same network, and it's great, but it's different.
Correct, and it is different enough to be removed from my PMG on my 500.
Did you get that one with the Mars mod or no?
I'm on the Romeo repeater and it did a little burp. What'd you say?
Did you get the 500 with the Mars mod, or is it just straight up ham band?
I ordered it from DXE and they don't do it, so it hit the door yesterday. I got the truck wired yesterday, got everything working, and then I brought it inside and I took the Hako to it, and now it's a free bird.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, I feel like at this point, it's, especially with the infrastructure that's around us, it's silly to not have it done.
I agree entirely. Every single radio I have has it. If radio is a last-ditch MCOM or worst-case scenario or an alternative means of communication, I'm not going to be restricted to a transmit lock.
Absolutely. Let's just hope we never get there, though.
That's what my Montana's for.
Right? A contingency to your contingency, right?
I was talking to my wife the other day, and I'm like, I'm not a prepper, right? Like, I'm not one of those dudes, like, I don't stockpile food. I don't have a bunker. Like, I'm not one of those guys that's, like, over the top, but, like, I absolutely love redundancy and just having the things I need when I need them. it started when I bought a house, like trying to remodel the thing, and I didn't have the right tools ever. So I told myself, if I ever need something once, I'm probably going to need it again. So I would just buy that. And I just like having things to do things when I need them to do things. I don't know. I'm not a prepper, though. I don't want to associate with that.
Well, I think also in your line of work, you have an understanding that technology fails. And when you don't have control over it being recovered, you want to have a secondary plan.
I think that might be part of my subconscious doing the things I do. I've noticed myself doing it at work, too. So when I started this job, our director, he does not like sitting on inventory, which to me is like, absolutely not. We are not doing this. We are not overnighting things. We are not doing downtime. So I took over procurement and inventory, and we haven't had to overnight things since I started. So I like, you know, I like having things at my disposal for when they're needed.
I totally get that. I totally get that, because that's what we do all day, every day, is send stuff out for people.
Everyone has a different school of thought. Mine's just on the more, I don't know. I don't even know what you'd call that, really. Just, if you can have it, or if you can swing it, why not, right?
For sure. No need to be in a pickle when you don't have to be.
But yeah, hopefully this sounds better. I cringe when I hear static comms, so I'm always worried. Like, that was another thing when I was in my HD. Like, I knew when I got to 36-mile road, which I'm at right now on the other side, it would go to complete crap. You couldn't hear me. So that was my biggest concern, because I've always had a good signal, and I wanted to maintain that. And you just can't do it with an HD, unfortunately. And I think now the only thing I'm going to be limited by is this short antenna I've got on my roof, but we'll see if the 25-50 watts does the trick.
Well, you sound great from here on this side. I can't even tell that you're in the same zones that you were before.
Yeah, I think right about here is where I'd start to get a little scratchy. I'm 25 watts, I'm going into Romeo. I'm at, like, Kidder and 53. So I'm sure I'm going to get noisy because I am running a short antenna, but, you know, if it sounds better than it did and I can maintain, you know, solid signal the whole way, that's all I can ask for.
KE8RUH. Yeah, for sure. It's night and day compared to when you were operating on that handheld.
Well, good. It makes me feel better. Now I'm in a pickle because the handheld is not going to move off my desk, so I don't know if I move that along and get an 891 or if I just hang on to it or what, because, I mean, if I'm talking about a radio that I can throw in a bag and have it if I need it, I've got two of those, and they cost substantially less, and I'm not worried about hurting them.
For sure. That Kenwood will move. You might have to drop the price a little bit at some point, but you'll get money back out of it and be able to reinvest. And I know, like you said, it's not, you know, we're going into winter, and you probably just, hopefully by February, you'll have sold that thing and got into an 891 and can go from there. You know, you want to, I mean, I guess it'd be nice to be able to operate right now, but you also probably would be fine waiting until, you know, winter starts winding down.
That ain't DBF. Yeah, free time's such a hard thing to come by right now that I would feel probably just as bad buying an 891 setup that collected dust, because it's rare that I even get to go out in my yard. So at least at the old house, I had, you know, things relatively set up where I could pretty much hook up a radio and jump on the air for like 20 minutes, but here I don't have anything. But yeah, no, I think I paid $699 plus the Mars mod, so it was like almost $800 after tax and shipping, or no, there's no shipping on that one. It was like $770 or something, so I figured if I could pull six out of it with the, I got the Kenwood cradle, their really crappy case, and that speaker mic. So figured if I pulled six out of it, I don't feel so bad. If not, whatever, I'll just sit on the thing. It's maybe it'll turn into one of those 74 scenarios where people are scalping them for $800.
You never know. Yeah, I mean, I'd really like to have one of those. I don't need to, it's a lot of money, though, and I really just would like it for the,
they'll buy it for $400.
Data modes to be able to run APRS and stuff like that, but with the, DigiPeter iGate down in Mount Clemens, there's really nowhere to get in and, you know, and put it all on the internet. So it's tough right now. APRS has been a point of contention and frustration for me for the last few months. So I've kind of given that up for a little while.
I heard an opening bid at $400. Yeah, I think I have that same problem by me. I haven't even set up APRS on this radio yet. I did set it up on the Kenwood. The Kenwood. And even bought a stupid $5 app to see if I was hitting any DigiPeters, and I don't think there's anything out by me. I used to do it when I was driving all over the place at my old job. That was cool. The 200 would always pump out my APRS beacon, but I think my route, I wouldn't beacon until I got to, like, Hall Road. So, it's a sweet radio, but unless you live, you know, in handheld distance to some set of repeaters, I don't know that it's worth it. Or if you're doing the APRS, or you're big on D-Star and you're buying a D-Star repeater. But even then, I think there's cheaper options to do it. And the other thing, I feel like on an HD, unless you're super close and have a great line of sight, you're on 5 watts and that thing just gets hot, and then it crushes the battery. So, I don't know. That's why everyone says get a mobile for your first radio, and that's 100% the way anybody should go.
For sure. Yeah, I've been kind of itching to get a Fusion radio, something that has the Yaesu Fusion on it. There's a Fusion repeater in my backyard practically. And then I was in West Michigan the last 2 weekends, and apparently they have a pretty solid Fusion network of repeaters. So, I don't know. I don't need any new radios. I should not buy any more, and just play with what I have. But if the right deal comes across, maybe I'll pick something up.
I'm in a hole right now, so it's probably going to sound pretty choppy. Crushing a hill here in a second. I thought you bought a FT3 or something. Didn't you end up with a Fusion handheld? Or are you talking about a mobile you want?
No, I didn't. I didn't buy one. I think when you picked that one up last year or something, there was somebody selling either a 3 or a 5 at a pretty good price, and I thought about buying it, but I never did.
Okay, I couldn't remember. Your way to get an Fusion is an FT70. Those are sweet little radios. Really good analog radios, really bad battery life. But the FT5, I'll give it credit, it's an awesome Fusion radio, but I don't like them on the analog side. I think the mics are bad.
Yeah, and that thing's still pretty expensive. What are those things, $400-$500?
I mean, if you really want one, keep an eye out. I've seen them as low as $349 brand new.
Yeah, I'll keep an eye out. I'm in no rush.
Now you're making me feel like I should put the Fusion repeaters in our area in my radio. I didn't even do that. But I guess I could catch up with Walt over there.
I monitor it too, so if I'm mobile and you call out, I'd probably hear it.
That was like the first time I really even talked today was on a zombie net.
He's always monitoring, and he just likes to sneak in like that. He may not say anything else. He just wanted it to be known that he was listening to us.
Dave is the monitoring king. He tends to hear a lot.
Yeah, but I don't lurk as much as NYET does. He's probably out there right now listening to us.
I don't know who that is.
That's the way he likes it.
Lurker Larry. Lurker Larry.
I heard he's always listening. When he has 7 or 8 all-star nodes.
Just like the NSA, I listen to all bands. I have 12 AOR communications receivers running and SDR plus pluses.
Well, someone's going to have to fill me in on this guy.
No, we just like poking fun because he's always listening, and but he's on Telegram and all that, and he's a good guy. He's got lots of toys to play with, so. It's also assuming he's real.
Maybe he's a bot.
Hey, I got to jump to make a phone call. I'll hop back in if you guys are still on in a few minutes. K-E-A-R-U-H.
All right, Anthony, I'll probably be out of the truck. I'm making my last turn here, so it was good talking to you, dude.
Well, that 500 sure is like 20 million times better than what you had before. So just goes to show you what's the difference between a $700 Kenwood versus a $20 propane. I don't know. But, no, 5 watts is just, like, not good mobile, but you're doing good. KFADS.
Definitely seems to be holding in there a lot stronger than the, why is this guy running 2 combines? Well, than the FP, or not the MP5, the THP75. Awesome radio, no fault of its own. It's 5 watts, and 5 watts is 5 watts.
Yeah, if only we listened to our Elmers. Because I had an Elmer that said, you know what, don't get yourself an ATT as your first ham radio, get yourself a mobile.
I know, I pulled myself that, but I'm like, ooh, it's shiny, and it's new, and it's so cool. And I could have saved myself some money and less headache, but it'd be what it be. All right, guys, I'm dropping out. I'm pulling in the driveway. Glad to hear that my radio sounds good. So I'll catch up with y'all later. NACBF.
KFADA. KPP Mobile. Yo, I can't wait to shut it all down.
KF8CCZ. Thomas.
W-A-T-T-T. W-A-T-T-T. W-A-T-T-T.
Go ahead, Captain Don.
All right, I was just testing. I got my, cord for putting the heel, however you say it, headset into my TS-2000, so when I do the satellites with the rotor, I'm able to put the sound into my computer for the YouTube lives, and I guess I'm making it in okay. Roger.
Yeah, you weren't at first, but now you're okay.
Yeah, I think I can't start talking right away. Did you hear me say yeah at the beginning of that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you heard three yeahs there? Because I'm wondering how quick I can start talking before I key up.
Well, just say 1, 2, 3. And do a 10 count or whatever. I'll tell you where you cut off.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Did you hear all of them?
Yep, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
All right, I can now use my headset with either the trigger key up or a foot pedal, and I can pipe it to my computer for recording or live feeds. Awesome. Okay, that's all I wanted to test real quick. I was kind of doing two things at once, and this one's taken care of, so now I got to go back to the other thing. I'll catch you in a little bit. WCPP clear.
KF8S.